takes us to the sufferings of Jesus on the cross. And today we're going to see the suffering of Christ in what is regarded by Christians as the crucifixion psalm. Crucifixion psalm. Let's just pray. Lord, we just ask that you would help us now to focus our minds upon your holy truth and your word. I pray that you would move us and stir us with what we see recorded in your scriptures, Lord. Prepare our hearts for this time of ordinance that we are to observe. In Jesus' name, amen. Crucifixion. We can trace it all the way back to the ancient Persians and Carthaginians. They were the ones who invented this form of torture. Of course, the Romans would take it further and perfect it in their empire. And the very word struck terror in the hearts of those who lived during the time of our Lord Jesus. Nevertheless, hundreds of years before this form of torture was invented by the Persians, David, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes for us this psalm and describes the incredible suffering that Messiah would endure. It is as graphic, we'll see, as the suffering of the crucifixion we read about in the Gospels. And so I'm just going to read for you the first 18 verses of this psalm, which describe a terrible form of suffering. Listen as I read. My God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I have no rest, yet you are holy. Oh, you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel, in you our fathers trusted. They trusted it, and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were delivered, in you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm and not a man, and a reproach of men and despised by the people. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with a lip. They wag the head, saying, commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him because he delights in him. Yet you are he who brought me forth from the womb. You made me trust when upon my mother's breast. Upon you I was cast from birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. For there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouth at me as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws, and you lay me in the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers have encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Now some will ask, how is it that this, written by David, this psalm, written by David, could be speaking about the Messiah, especially when David is writing in the first person? And if we had time, I'd lay out all the various interpretations that have been offered to explain this psalm, but I'm just going to try to keep it brief here for our purposes this morning, and you can ask me questions later if you like. As one commentator writes, no known incident in the life of David fits the details of this psalm. The expressions describe an execution, not an illness. Yet, the execution is more appropriate to Jesus' crucifixion than David's experience. On the other hand, we see the exact nature of Messiah's suffering in the gospel records. When you go to the New Testament and you simply read about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus, it becomes evident that understanding David's account of suffering here is really a type of Messiah's ultimate suffering that he would experience in the crucifixion. And it's doubtful that David himself ever saw this as a messianic prophecy. It's doubtful that he understood the meaning of the type that he was getting here for Messiah's suffering. But nevertheless, the psalmist did know that these things were not literally true of his own suffering. And if we have any trouble saying, well, how is it that God could have David writing something and he didn't understand the full ramifications of what he wrote? We just need to remember for a moment that the Bible isn't like just any other book. It has a human author, surely in this case David, but there is a divine author, the Holy Spirit, who was moving men to write things that they didn't fully understand. David only had a very shadow of understanding of what we now know. At any rate, the gospel writers clearly understood Jesus is the fulfillment of this psalm. And this psalm, then, by way of the foreknowledge of God, presents to us the sufferings of our Messiah. It reveals to us that Messiah would suffer the incredible agonies of the crucifixion. And I want to show you that this psalm demonstrates nine ways. It describes nine ways that Jesus would suffer at his crucifixion. First, he would be forsaken of God. In verse 1, we read, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's the psalmist's cry. And when we get to Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, we read that about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Nobody was forsaken like Jesus was forsaken. And of course, that was on account of our sin. Secondly, we see that he would be mocked. There are many scriptures that prophesy Messiah would be mocked. Isaiah 53 is one. But here in Psalm 22, verses 7 and 8, we read, all who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip. They wag the head, saying, commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, because he delights in him. This would be literally fulfilled in the treatment which Christ would receive from those who stood about his cross, mocking him, casting insults at him. Matthew 27 says in verse 39, and those passing by, that is passing by the cross, were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. And in the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and the elders, were mocking him, saying, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now, if he delights in him. For he said, I am the Son of God. We read that even the robbers who were crucified him were also casting the same insult in his face. Jesus is experiencing this sort of mocking at his crucifixion. Thirdly, we see from this psalm that he would be surrounded and stared upon. Psalm verses 12 through 13. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They open wide their mouth at me as a ravening and a roaring lion. The word for bulls here in verse 12 is figurative of this merciless, relentless persecutors that are about the Messiah. The statement, many bulls have surrounded me, strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. This graphically portrays what we see at Jesus' crucifixion. He is surrounded by his enemies. And the fact they open wide the mouth, of course, is talking about how they're spewing forth evil toward our Lord. And we see in Psalm 22, down in verse 17, the last part of the verse, they look and stare at me. This reference portrays Messiah's persecutors as spectators, looking on upon his suffering. And of course, in Luke 23, verse 35, we read that the people stood by looking on. The rulers, the chief priests, everybody, Roman soldiers, they're watching Jesus suffer. They stare and look upon him. Crucifixion was a public demonstration. The victim was to be put on display for all to see. That was part of the suffering it entailed. Fourthly, we see from this psalm, his bones would be out of joint. In Psalm 22, 14, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. And after being nailed to a cross, the cross would be raised to the vertical and dropped into this deep slot in the ground. Many believe that the shock of this action would cause multiple dislocations. And this is what Jesus would experience. Fifthly, his heart would rupture. Psalm 22:14, the last part of the verse says, my heart is like wax. It is melted within me. Arnold Fruchtenbaum, a converted Jewish scholar, claims that the expression, my heart is melted like wax, is a Hebrew phrase for a ruptured heart. A ruptured heart would be evidenced by the discharge of water from the open wound Jesus would receive from the soldier's spear in his side. And this is exactly what John records in his eyewitness account. John 19, verse 33, coming to Jesus when they saw he was already dead, they didn't break his legs, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear and immediately came out blood and water. And modern medicine would consider this either a symptom of what's called pericardial effusion or pleural effusion. Jesus was certainly dead on the cross. This is evidence of that. Sixthly, he would experience excruciating thirst. Psalm 22, verse 15. The first part of the verse says, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws." You remember in John 19:28, Jesus, knowing that all things already had been fulfilled, cried, "I thirst. I thirst." And it's been said one of the great tortures of the crucifixion was the excruciating, burning thirst that that the victim would experience hanging there, being so dehydrated in the sun. Seventhly, we see his hands and his feet would be pierced. Verse 16, latter part of the verse says, "They pierced my hands and my feet." Of course, we see allusions to the similar sort of suffering Messiah would experience, Isaiah 53:5. "But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities." Zechariah 12:10 says, "They will look on me whom they have pierced." Messiah would be pierced. We could say, well, is that really just figurative for the suffering he would experience? This is the most gruesome method of execution, this crucifixion, this idea of nailing a victim to the cross. And it was virtually unheard of in David's time, and yet he says, by inspiration of the Spirit, "They pierced my hands and feet." When we get to the time of Messiah in the New Testament, and Jesus is taken to the cross, we read Luke 22:33, that they took him to the place called the skull, and there they crucified him. They crucified him, which meant they pierced his hands and feet. Luke 24:40, when Jesus appeared to his disciples, we read that he showed them his hands and his feet. Why? He's showing them the nail prints. He's showing them, "I am Jesus. I'm the same Jesus who was crucified. And I still bear the marks to prove it." Eighth, his body would be stripped naked and his bones exposed. Psalm 22, the first part of verse 17, "I can count all my bones." This implies the protrusion or visibility of the sufferer's bones. See, that's a little strange, right? Well, Matthew 27, verse 28 tells us that Jesus was stripped. They stripped him of his clothes. He was hung naked on the cross. And even before that, before Jesus was hung on the cross, they stripped him of his clothes to whip him. John 19:1 says, "Pilate then took Jesus and scourged him." And this Roman form of scourging was merciless. It was extremely brutal. We're told that in some cases, the victim's bones would be laid bare through the open lacerations received from this type of scourging. It is true of Messiah. He could count all his bones. He was disfigured physically. Ninth, his persecutors would gamble over his clothing. Very interesting. End of Psalm 22:18. He says, "They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Seems like a odd detail, except when we read in John 19, verses 22 and 24 of Jesus Christ, we read that the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garments and made four parts, a part to every soldier, and also the tunic. Now, the tunic was seamless, and it was woven in one piece, so they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to decide whose it shall be." And this was to fulfill the scripture, John writes, "They divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Fulfilled in explicit detail was the sufferings of our Messiah. We see from this psalm that Messiah would suffer the incredible agonies of crucifixion. I think it's with good reason that Christians have long regarded this psalm, Psalm 22, as the crucifixion psalm. There's no clearer fulfillment in history than those historical events recorded of Jesus Christ in the Gospels. And thus Psalm 22 shows us Jesus is indeed the Messiah sent from God, and Jesus did suffer immensely for our sin. And let's just keep this in mind then as we approach the table, the Lord's table this morning. Let's give all our attention, let's give all our love to the one who suffered, because he is worthy.